got a couple of interesting stories we're going to talk to Mark about, including this one about transportation. And we thought that all the transportation projects were over with the governor's announcement a few weeks ago, but apparently not. Mark joins us in our Touchpoints Rehab Interview Chair. Mark, good morning and welcome to Brad and Dan.
Good morning. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good. We're doing fine. How are you?
Oh, I'm hanging in there. Been very busy.
Well, I'm sure. So what is up with these transportation projects? We were led to believe that's it. Everything's been put on hold. What can you tell us?
Well, no. It's just we're not going to be, you know, we're not going to be spending as much. And, you know, mostly what was put on hold were all the state-funded projects, the projects that were 100% funded by the state. And, you know, because if we have federal grants, we can't really just stop, you know. We'd have to, you know, either pay the money back to the feds or, you know, we'd have to work something out with them because you can't just, you know, take their money and then be like, ah, sorry. So, no, I mean, everything has not stopped. We're actually going to be bonding an additional $3.7
billion
over the next 5 years. Yep. And this is us, you know, reducing. You know, this is after, you know, cuts. You know, we're still going to be bonding $3.7 billion. And, you know, according to a report by the Kroll Bond Rating Agency, almost all of that is going to be going towards Governor Malloy's Let's Go Connecticut infrastructure project. And that is a 30-year, $100 billion project.
30 years?
30 years, $100 billion.
Wow.
So, yeah. I mean, but again, they didn't, it seemed to me anyway, make that distinction. We were told everything's going to come to a halt and the transportation fund is running out of money. But in reality, it may be running out of money, but there's going to be projects going forward under this Let's Go CT, correct?
Correct. Absolutely, yes. And, that's one thing with the announcement that I found just a little disingenuous was, you know, he did, you know, Governor Malloy did point out that some parts of Let's Go CT were being suspended and, you know, kind of like, oh, we're all feeling the pain, we're all in this together. But, you know, in reality, Let's Go CT is still moving forward. It's just, you know, some of its funding was cut, but not, you know, it's still going, you know.
You know, in this, Mark, I don't know about you, but this is something that drives me crazy. Why they say one thing, okay, and then they do something else. They say, well, it's really not what you think it is, but you know something? It's more than they told it to us, the story to us, and that is what it is.
Well, you know, I think it was a big, you know, it was kind of like raising the red flag. You know, we're gonna slash a bunch of these local projects. You know, and that way everybody feels the pain and everybody can get on board with, you know, raising the gas tax or installing tolls or, you know, creating the transportation lockbox or, you know, what have you, you know. So, you know, you kind of, you know, you make it like the sky is falling and, you know, without pointing out that, well, I mean, not everything, we're still going to be doing a bunch of work, you know.
Mark Fitch, investigative reporter for the Yankee Institute for Public Policy, a great organization. I want to ask you, Mark, because you're on top of this, you're out there all the time. What do you think of when you take a look at Connecticut, when we look down the road, when we look at the future? We've got to do something dramatic to get us back to where we used to be. I don't see how we can continue like we are. I really don't.
It's, you know what, and we can't. And that's, you know, this is kind of the problem. And, you know, one of the things people like to talk about, you know, transportation and infrastructure, like, well, you need, you know, updated infrastructure to grow the economy. Well, here's the thing, you know, when you talk about infrastructure, you're talking about projects that take 10, 20, 30 years, you know, that take tons of planning. We don't have 10, 20, or 30 years. We have 1 year at tops. You know, we're already in a deficit this year. We're going to be in another one next year. And the upcoming budget, you're already talking about being $4.6 billion in deficit, I think the number is.
Yeah.
So we don't, you know, when we talk about growing, fixing infrastructure to grow the economy, we need to grow the economy much faster than we can build a bridge or a road, you know. And so that's where Connecticut is going to come into a real problem, is the time factor, in that we don't have any. And, you know, so the calls are going to go up. You're going to hear it to, you know, raise taxes in one manner or the other, you know. But, and that's just going to facilitate the notion that Connecticut can't fix its own problems, that it's too expensive to live there, and why would anybody want to move into a place or grow a business in a place that is continually doing the same thing over and over again, that's obviously not working.
Well, right. And Mark, I've got to tell you right now, Senate Majority Leader Bob Duff is out there. He tweeted a picture last night showing that he was at an event and wearing a T-shirt in favor of paid family leave. And I'm telling you, that's got to make businesses in Connecticut quiver when they see something like that.
Well, and this is the thing. They like to pander to businesses every now and then and say, oh, yeah, no, we really care what you think. And then when businesses tell them what they think, they get ignored. It's one of the things, you know, this Commission on Fiscal Stability and Economic Growth, which is, you know, comprised of, you know, business leaders and organizational leaders. I mean, that's a good step. I think it's great that, you know, the state is saying, hey, you know, we care. We want to hear what you guys have to say. Let's see if the state really wants to hear what they have to say when they come out with their recommendations.
That's the question. Now, you have a story, and it was on Yankee's website yesterday, yankeeinstitute.org, and it is about the number of retired state employees receiving six-figure pensions, and it has grown by 1,000% since 2010, Mark.
That was our lead story at 5 o'clock this morning, Mark. I want you to know that. Number of state retirees getting six-figure pensions grows 30% in 1 year. That's the headline. You know it because you guys were part of it.
Yeah, I mean, and like, that's the thing. You look at from just 8 years ago, you know, I mean, the story's linked in the article. Just 8 years ago, the Connecticut Mirror was like, hey, look, there's 110 state employees, you know, making $100,000 or more. Now we're at, you know, now we're at 1,400, you know. In 8 years, at least 1,000% increase in the number, and the top, you know, the top pensions. I mean, we're talking $320,000 a year.
Wow, you know, unbelievable.
Yeah, and which is in violation of IRS, you know, law.
You know, now, how is that in violation of IRS standards? Explain that to our audience.
Okay, so yeah, the IRS standards places a cap on what a defined benefit plan can pay out. Of $215,000, I mean, our top, you know, pensioner has that beat by $100,000 easy, and this is something that you know, Comptroller Lembo had said he was going to work on with the state retirement board, state employee retirement board, years ago, and it still hasn't been addressed. So
when the state gives out these pensions in excess of $215,000 a year, they are violating IRS standards? Is that how we're supposed to take this?
Yes.
How can they get away with it?
Well, I mean, you know, I'm not sure how you get away with it. It's probably one of those things where you keep saying, oh, we're working on it, we're going to fix it, and you keep getting an extension or something like that. I'm not positive how we get away with it.
But you know something, when I had that story this morning, and I did, as I said, 5 o'clock I did it, and I repeated it, I just was thinking of people that are out there working every single day. Yes, and they work and they work and they finally get retired, but they don't ever even dream of something like this. And here they are, paying taxes and more taxes so some of these folks can retire on $300,000, can retire on $200,000, can retire on $150,000. Give me a break.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing is, you know, when people talk about pensions, everybody always thinks about, like, you know, your cop or your construction worker or something like that, you know? But we're not talking about cops and construction workers when we come to these kind of numbers, you know? We're talking about, you know, UConn professors, and we're talking about political appointees, and we're talking about, you know, doctors. And frankly, like, if you're making enough money that you're going to get a pension over $100,000, you should be able to save some money for your retirement without, you know, the state taxpayers having to foot the bill.
And by the way, as you write in the story, a lot of these retirees receive a minimum 2% cost of living adjustment every year. Minimum 2%.
Yeah, that's minimum. Minimum 2%.
No, it's...
And, yeah, if you're on Social Security, you haven't gotten 2% since 2011.
No. Nope.
You know?
No.
So it's actually the cost of living increase is higher than the consumer price index, you know, increases, like the measure of inflation. It's higher than that.
Right. Well,
you know, for the past, you know, 6 years.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's not a pretty situation. It's bankrupting the state of Connecticut. A state can't declare bankruptcy, but if it could, we'd be in the vanguard. Mark, these are great stories. Thanks very much for spending some time and sharing it with our audience today.
And we'll talk to you again.
Oh, thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
You take care.
There it is. 14 minutes before.